This is GM Authority Weekly, episode 61, recorded on March 26, 2011. Manoli's Knob. GM Authority Weekly is brought to you by the GM Authority News Desk. For the latest independent General Motors news, analysis, and a whole lot more, visit gmauthority.com. You can subscribe to this podcast for free. Try searching for GM Authority Weekly in the iTunes Store. It's time for GM Authority Weekly, in which we discuss all things General Motors, and we do it weekly, every week, hence the name of the show. From Colorado Springs, Colorado, I'm your host, the Mad Master Strategist, as I like to call myself, Alex Luft, and I'm joined by the regular cast of the GM Authority crew, starting with GM Authority Editor-in-Chief Manoli Katakis from the D-Town. Hey, Manoli, how's it going?
Oh, it would be much better if the Wings didn't lose 10-3 last night.
Ooh, that must have hurt.
That's double digits. That's 10-0-3.
It never really gets that high in hockey, you know, lately.
No, but that's a football score.
It's a record. Exactly.
It hasn't happened in 21 years for the Wings to lose that badly.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you'll get their mojo back, you know. They'll get it back. From
hopefully, playoff season.
Yeah, at least. I think they'll get there. They always make the playoffs anyway, or at least most of the time.
All the time.
The Panthers make it all the time. From Ontario, Canada, is GM Authority Opinion Desk Writer and, just Opinion Desk Writer Extraordinaire, we should call him, Hilton Jorson. Hilton,
wow.
Good evening.
How are you?
Well, we're all doing well, except for Manoli, who kind of lost
sleep in this time.
Well, no, your team lost. That's what I was going to say.
Actually, I was shocked when I heard, you know,
dude,
the Wings lost. That was amazing. And I watched the highlights and
low lights.
You know, I think I could have scored on your fill-in goalie there last night.
Cut the guy a break. He's brought him up from the minor leagues. He can only go up from here, right? I mean,
you can only hope.
Let's hope so. Yeah.
It's funny. There's kind of a, I wouldn't call it a rumor, but there's a this notion in the NHL that once you make it to the Florida Panthers, the only way to go is either to Europe or to the minor leagues.
That must be where you wanted to go.
Right. Exactly. So it's.
You almost got there. I mean, you were skating with them in practice.
Yeah, I was skating with them, but it wasn't good for the minor leagues, I guess. But it's funny. Like if you're traded to another NHL team, you're very, very, very lucky. At least that's the going notion. So, you know, Detroit, you know, the Red Wings. If they lose, they lose. But at least they're not.
You know what is the minimum? What is the minimum starting salary for an NHL player? Is it 600,000?
I have no idea. I think the minimum is a lot less now.
600,000. The NFL's minimum salary is 500,000.
Yeah, I think it's like around 150.
No.
I know a guy right now who makes 200.
Is that Soleil?
That's a two. No. That's a two-way. He's got a two-way deal, right?
No, I think he's there. I mean, I don't know the details, but I know what he makes.
Well, all I know is somebody paid me $600,000, and if I played like that goalie last night, I wouldn't really care. I mean, thanks for the money.
See you later, guys.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the Wings wanted a lot of shots on the guy just so he can get some experience and get
they used it as a practice. They used it as a practice. That's good. Well, let's talk some cars. Manoli, you have the Buick Regal Turbo in the GM Authority garage this week. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
At first, I didn't think I'd like the car that much. You know, I wasn't sure how it would be, you know, after driving cars like the CTS Coupe, where it's basically, you know, around the same price range, you know, give or take, you know, a few grand. And it's, you know, and the fact that it's, you know, front wheel drive, but they still appeal to this, you know, more of the sports car driver, someone that would drive maybe an Audi, someone that would maybe drive an Acura TL or TSX. TSX, as it says on the spec sheet. I'm not sure if I agree with that one.
Yeah, it should be the TL. They're the same. It's the same size as the TL.
Yeah, I mean, it's and literally it's a carbon copy of the Opel Insignia.
Right.
Inside and out, minus the waterfall grill or whatever the hell they call it for Buick.
The waterfall grill, that's right.
But I got to say, after the initial, you know, moaning and groaning, I've really grown on the car. It's really grown on me. And I love driving it. I really do. It's, you know, definitely the best front-wheel drive car I've ever driven.
Better than the Cruze, huh?
Oh, much. And considering that I was driving the Cruze Eco, again, like, that car wasn't meant for the kind of driving that the Regal can handle. The Cruze Eco, I mean, it was missing the Watts Z-Link suspension. You know, it's got the really tall gear ratios where, you know, there's, you know, almost next to no pickup. It's just there for, you know, they're really tall. They're really just there for fuel economy's sake.
Right.
Low rolling resistance tires, which, you know, basically make you feel like you're barely touching the road. And this car, man, it fears next to, you know, no corners. It brakes just as well. Torque steer is, I mean, it's there, but it, you know, it won't force you into a ditch when you put it to the floor.
Okay. And you have the automatic, or is it the stick?
Unfortunately, it came with the automatic. All the media fleet vehicles, I'm told, are with the automatic transmission. But that's not to say it's not fun. You know, like I was saying, the motor is 220 horses. That's the 2-liter i4 turbo Ecotec engine.
That's the low output. So the GS is going to get the high output version of that.
The GS is going to have a higher output engine. This is also the same engine that we might see in the next generation Camaro and the Cadillac ATS
and Malibu
definitely the Malibu in a couple of years time. We're also going to see it in the Buick Verano, and fingers crossed someday the Cruze. But yes, again, that part is just something that we're hoping for.
Right. All right.
Transmission, you got a 6-speed auto. Mm-hmm. Oh, and torque, you have 258 pounds-feet of torque. So yeah,
that engine is very torquey.
It is, man, and I tell you what, it's got gobs of torque, even at, you know, the higher, higher speeds. You know, passing power, again, fantastic, because the torque curve is just, it's so even, it's so nice, and, I mean, you just, at any speed, you put it down, and that thing will send you off, and I think that's probably why I like driving the car so much, just because it's so punchy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if there's any gripe I gotta have about it, is that initially, I found the overall setup of the center console to be a little confusing.
The whole infotainment unit, huh?
Don't you have three knobs or two knobs? Yeah, there's like three different knobs.
Okay.
There's one that just acts as the volume. The other thing acts as, like, I'm not even really sure what it does. It does something with the map, or like changes the direction of the. Actually, it'll point the crosshair of your on your GPS system. But instead of like using like a joystick or something where it's really easy to go in like diagonal directions, it's like the D-pad on a controller, you know, on your Xbox, and it kind of functions the same way. And it's kind of awkward. But that aside, like I've really got turned on by the knob that's located just by the gear shifter. And this thing, you know, with the touch of a button and, you know, the turning of the knob, I can call you with my Bluetooth. I can, you know, surf the XM radio channels, which they also show on the display what's playing. I can search by genre, you know, and it's all pumping through a Harman Kardon sound system, which is just bitching. That thing, man, it's a great car. And for the price that it's asking, the one I drove at was stickered at $34,435. And I was initially, you know, it's fooled people for it to be a $50,000 car.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the way it feels, the way the audio system is, all the features, I thought were great. And you know what's even cooler is that, or I mean, I don't know if this is considered cool, but it's interesting to say the least, is I was with all my friends, or not all my, but a few, like, you know, a bunch of my friends last night.
Were they in the trunk?
No, they're all, but they're all, you know, 22 or younger.
Okay.
You know, between the ages of 22 and 20. And I let them sit in the Regal. You know, I took them for a ride. You know, I took them around some corners. And they were taken aback by it. They're like, you know, becoming a Buick enthusiast just got a lot easier.
Aha. So that's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, this car, the Regal Turbo turned, you know, like 3-4 guys on to a Buick, you know.
Well, see, that's interesting. Man. Yeah, I think the whole old man mantra that's been associated with the brand for as far as probably you and I have been alive. I think Buick needed this kind of game-changing vehicle. You know, maybe the Regal doesn't even go far enough. Maybe the Regal GS is going to be, you know, the car that actually takes it to that level. But something that changes people's perceptions, and you can't do it with something like the LaCrosse because the LaCrosse is more traditional. You know, it's as traditional as a traditional Buick, except that it's more modern. You can't do it with the Verano, but you may be able to do it with something like a Regal, or maybe better yet, a Regal Coupe. You know, something that's a lot more sexy, more young, more, you know, more stylish.
Something tells me that at one point or another, this car was on the drawing board to be the next generation Pontiac G6.
That would have been nice.
Oh man, it would have been a great.
It would have cost a lot more though.
Considering I own a G6,
right?
You know, this thing is. You know, obviously, I feel the immediate difference between the Epsilon and the Epsilon 2 platform. It's just it's so much more rigid. Oh, and another thing too, the suspension system on that thing, you can configure it where you can turn off the sport suspension, the sport steering, and the sport powertrain. So basically, like, it'll numb the car a little bit. I put that thing in what's it called?
Sport mode.
Tour mode. Touring mode.
Okay.
And you know, it feels like a cruiser. By no means like a Lexus EX or the Buick LaCrosse, but it's a lot more coddling, you know, it's a lot more, you know, cushy, so to speak, than, you know, with all the sport, you know, the sport mode turned on, you know, you press the sport mode button, you turn on all the configurations. And you feel it too, like the chassis, everything becomes tighter, the steering becomes more, you know, more tight, the gear changes more crisp. It's
more,
just,
much more aggressive, huh?
It's very versatile, and I hope that, you know, I'd like to see, as an enthusiast, I'd like to see the car come in a coupe, maybe a convertible form.
Yeah, I like
but
to see
the
a
only
coupe. We have some renderings of the coupe.
Yes, we do. But the only thing that kind of bothers me is what would turn people on to buy this car over a CTS? Yeah, maybe you're going to save.
Well, what turns people on to buy a TL over a, you know, a CTS or over a 5 Series or over a, you know,
well,
a Lexus
the TL
GS?
Is that. The TL is a lot cheaper than a 5 Series.
Right. And same thing here. You know, this thing is the TL starts at the CTS starts at, you know, just over 30.
Or yeah, well, 30 this one starts just under 30.
Let me see.
The Buick Regal CXL Turbo starts at $28,745.
Okay.
I mean, I drove it with like $6,000 in options, but
right. Let me see.
I basically
actual,
got the most
CTS,
loaded Regal you can get.
I'm sorry. The CTS, actually, the sedan starts at 35.
Well, they bumped the price up. And
yeah.
That's with the 3-liter?
I believe so, yeah.
See, that's just overpriced.
Yeah, that 3.6. Well, you know, it is a 5 Series competitor, and the 5 Series does have, size-wise, again. And, you know, I think features-wise as well.
No, well, I mean, size-wise, the CTS kind of is the stopgap between the C and D segment.
Right.
It's not a full blown.
It's not. Not yet. But it will be. And so I guess the question that we should be asking is what will get people to buy this car over the ATS? And the answer to that would be size. Because this car will be about 10 inches longer than the ATS from what we know.
Yeah, and you know, offer us the you know, the same starting drivetrain, but then
Right.
again, you got all that extra weight.
Right.
So you're not going to feel the kind of performance from that same engine as you would in the more compact ATS or even the Verano. What's going to stop people from buying a Verano turbo, which is, again, is going to have the same engine, but it's going to be, you know, maybe 500 pounds lighter. So you're going to have more performance there, and you get this, you still get the selection of a stick
Right. Well,
shift.
that see that's the problem with positioning Buick as a performance brand. You run into these, colloquial
I
choices
don't think it's
that.
so much that. I think it's just there's just the muck up of engines, where the fact that it's in a, you know, the same engines in two completely different segment cars.
Yeah, I think that's
Like
fine. I mean, you
if
have
the Regal if the Regal CX if the Regal Turbo was maybe to have the LF3 that's coming out or whatever, the 3 liter turbocharged V6.
Oh, right, okay.
Maybe that'd be too much horsepower, but
Is that right? Well, we'll see. But I don't think that's I don't think that's that the engine is a problem with GM's lineup, Buick
I really
Cadillac at
want to
all.
try the car with the all-wheel drive. I think that was the only thing I was missing, because I want to see what the car felt like with that little extra, you know, propulsion from the
Right.
rear wheels. You get
And
that
it's
extra weight, but
and it, it
whatever.
that all-wheel drive system is the Haldex system, and it's excellent. I've tried that in Saabs. I've tried that in I can't remember who else uses that system, but I've tried it in Saabs before, and it really works great. So, with a modern vehicle like the Regal slash Insignia, I'm sure it works
Yeah, and really,
like
like
a dream.
the car is an Opel Insignia. You know, I drove it. It felt like an Opel. You know, so I think that it's also a testament to show, like, the, you know, just how good the engineers are over at GM Europe.
Right. Well, pretty much everything except for the trucks is now developed either in Europe or in Korea or in China nowadays.
Yeah, well,
Isn't that true?
no. What about the Well, you got the Camaro, the
Right,
Corvette,
right.
the you know, the CTS, all the rear-wheel drive systems
Right.
and platforms are all still developed here. They're performance cars,
Right. But
but
everything else that's a volumes, volume seller is pretty much a non-US originated product. So maybe the engineers from GM US or North America were involved in the development and design and engineering, but it's heavily influenced by either Europe, Korea, or China. I'm gonna play this ad, and this Buick Regal Turbo ad played, or it really caught my attention over the weekend. I just enjoy this ad because it's, first of all, well, I'll just let it speak for itself. Here it is.
Turbo. Buick. Turbo. Buick. Turbo. Buick. Don't worry. You'll get used to the sound of it. The six-speed direct injected 2011 Regal Turbo.
How do you feel about Kevin Bacon being
New
voice?
from Buick.
Think he does a
I
good
think he
job?
does a great job. I think he's got that perfect, luxurious voice that you'd associate with a luxurious ad. But Turbo Buick, that's the, and then the last part, don't worry, you'll get used to it, to the sound of it.
Oh, and
I
I
just
love
find it
the sound of it
fascinating.
too. I love just listening to that back pressure just
Oh,
come on.
exactly. And the scenery, it's just a beautiful ad. The way that they got the corners and the vehicle and it just looks awesome. So, I really like this ad. I hope you guys are fans of it, but this is my personal favorite of the month. Well, all right, let's talk about something else and switch gears real quick. But before we do that, I want to remind everyone that they can call us and just tell us what you think of the show. Tell us what you think of the stories that we cover, the segments that we cover, the news that we cover, what have you. Maybe you want to disagree with us about the Buick Regal Turbo, and maybe think it sucks. So you kind of want to disagree with Manoli there. You can do all
The
that by
seats
calling
suck,
us.
so you don't have to disagree with me there. The
And the
seats
back
do
seats
kind of
suck
suck.
too. All right.
They're just they're yeah, they're not absorbent.
That's the front seats, but the back seats are just, that's like a bench
Yeah, it is
in that
like a
car.
bench.
It's like a
It's
flat bench.
they could definitely use you know, take some notes from Audi.
So you can call us at 313-355-3GMA. That's 313-355-3GMA. All right, so let's talk about the Chevy Colorado, or this is the next generation Colorado that we've talked about quite a bit in the last year or so. It's this kind of an on again, off again product. We're trying to figure out whether the U.S. market will even have room for a product like this. You know, if there is room for a product like this, where, you know, what's the price point that it, where it comes in? So Chevy finally unveiled, this is a show car. So it's not quite a concept and it's not quite a production car. It's right in between.
It's like what the Chevy Cruze hatch show car was at Paris.
Right. So you're going to see some toning down of the lights, some toning down of the wheels, the interior.
Yeah. Well, I think the interior is a toss up. It looks believable.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Camaro interior. It's really retro.
Yeah. I think if anything, it'll be like the LTZ.
Right. Yeah, that's true. But the general overall layout probably will be the same if this interior makes it to production, which being a show car, I think it will. So what do you think? I mean, this thing to me looks awesome. How about you?
I think, well, yeah, it's handsome, it's curvy, it's everything.
Yeah. Yeah, this thing, I mean, it came out better than I expected. Were you expecting this?
Maybe a little bit more rugged looking. I like the way it looks. But I do think it's maybe a little bit too curvy for a truck.
Okay. So it's a little bit,
or at least more than what I'm used to.
Right. Well, I mean, I'll tell you, this thing, I would buy this thing like right now.
It looks like a Chevy Malibu and
the Cruze.
Like a last gen Colorado got it on and, you know, spit out this guy.
I like this. I like this child.
Would you like it if it was on a front-wheel drive platform, though?
I don't know. That's questionable. And I guess that's the going rumor, right? Is that...
Well, Automotive News, kind of Rick Krantz from Automotive News is suggesting it because the car made its debut as an all-wheel drive setup. And usually, you know, that's to say that cars come out with all-wheel drive to mask their front-wheel drive, platform setup. So he thinks that's going to be a front-wheel drive configuration, which who's to say what that's going to do to, you know, the towing and payload ratings, right, and how much torque the engine can, or the car can handle. But
right,
I don't want to believe it. I don't think it's true.
Well, the show car is powered by a 2.8-liter turbo diesel four-cylinder that, by the way, has been developed completely in-house by GM. So,
It's going to be manufactured in Thailand, though, I believe.
Right.
They're going to build a 2.8 and a 2.5-liter diesel four-cylinder engines in Thailand.
Now, the significant part of this announcement is that, at least as it relates to this diesel, is that this is GM's first four-cylinder diesel engine.
Built in-house. There was actually at a point, and GM and Isuzu have had a history of developing and borrowing components from each other. Isuzu did at one point make a 2.8-liter four-cylinder diesel engine, which I thought maybe it would be a derivative, but that thing hasn't been around for almost, 20 years. So
right.
This is completely engine.
So the new Ford, the T6 Ranger, it's got a 2.2? Diesel?
No, I think it is
a 2.2. At least that's what I wrote when I wrote about it.
I don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's a 2.2 liter, so we should probably see more power from the Colorado. Because it's got more displacement.
Yeah, you got more displacement.
More headroom.
Hilton, what do you think?
Oh, I'm sorry, guys. I checked out after the last story when Manoli said he got turned on by the knob. and then 30 seconds after he said that, he said he had all his buddies in the car with him.
So I'm not going to be part of this. What is this?
Seriously, I really like this pickup truck. I think the front-wheel drive I don't know, but that's just something new to us,
I think it's
like
new to the segment in general. I mean, you don't
yeah.
see the Hilux being a front-wheel drive, and that's
No,
what everyone.
and I don't know what the towing capacity will be of this car, of this pickup truck when it
No,
has more of the heavy duty. Well, how does that affect, a front wheel drive pulling, something heavy? I don't know. Can it pull something heavy compared to, the current Colorados?
well, I think what and I don't mean to interrupt you, Hilton, but the well, think what's going to happen here is it's going to be based on a front wheel. If it is going to be based on a front wheel drive platform, we will never see it on a front wheel drive actual drive. We won't see the front wheels ever driving the car. I think it'll always come in an all wheel drive setup, like the show car is an all wheel drive truck. But the problem with that is then it adds significant cost to the vehicle.
Well, you got cost, you got weight, you bog
Right.
down fuel
And at
economy.
that
There's a
point,
whole
you know, it
bunch of
doesn't, right,
drawbacks.
at that point, it doesn't become a small, compact, or cheap truck. This thing becomes quite expensive, at
Well,
least.
yeah, but I
So, yeah.
mean, they're always going to have, you always have to offer some kind of four-wheel drive truck, right?
Yeah, I mean, those things go like hotcakes here in Colorado.
Right.
You gotta think though, is that a truck like the Colorado, where sold in markets where you otherwise you don't see the Chevy Silverado like you do here. I mean, you gotta trust a car like or a truck like this to do the job that maybe even a 1 ton Silverado might do. So you gotta build these things like they're invincible. And
And especially if it's going to be a global vehicle. I mean, if it's
yeah.
going to be sold in other markets, and judging by how this car was designed, it was designed as I believe in the Asians design this the exterior of this truck, right? I don't think it wasn't designed in North America.
I don't know.
Can't think of it off the top of my head, actually.
Yeah.
I
So
don't know.
anyhow, like, if this is going to be sold in Europe or African countries, for example, they're not into our full size vehicles.
No,
They,
they don't
you
want
know,
that.
this, no, this is the type of vehicle they use to haul blocks and anything heavy, and that's this is their pickup truck. So, it's going to have to be able to, if they are going to try and sell this globally, it's going to have to offer the ability to, tow, the ability to haul, and four-wheel drive.
Right.
Now,
Yeah.
the exterior and interior, I think they did a great job, especially, I mean, compared to what's out there now, like the current model, it's night and day,
Yeah, it's a world's better
Yeah,
than the current model.
and that pictures, the pictures we have up on the site, it's like you guys said, it if they tone down the wheels and the tires and all that,
And take that wing out.
it's
The
gonna
wing.
be it's gonna be a pretty nice looking truck.
What do you call that, Manoli? It's not a wing. What's it called? The behind the
Guys, you're
cab.
asking too much for me right now.
Oh, is your are you tired from the knob?
Yeah, I'm very tired from the knob.
All right. Well, why don't you take a break and we'll take a break and you can get some water and go play with that knob that you so desire.
Thank you.
So while we're doing that, while you're doing that, and you can enjoy that time, by the way. Just want to tell you that. I want to ask everyone a favor, like we do on every show, and that is to, share this show and share GM Authority and tell all your friends about GM Authority and the GM Authority Weekly Podcast. So if you're on Twitter, if you're on Facebook, if you're on whatever social network that you use,
It's a cab collar.
cab caller. There we go. You got that after
Yeah.
playing with the knob, didn't you?
Yeah. It's
Yep. That's the
magic.
kind of effect it has on you.
Of course.
I mean, we're not going to let this go, man. This is, Hilton brought it up and we're not going to let it go for the rest of the show, so
We can
I
say
say we can call it Manny's knob. Manny's knob. All right. Yeah, you're going to have to live this one down.
I dare to call the show
Manny's knob.
Manny plays with the knob.
Nice. I think we got a show title right there, folks. Manny plays with the Regals knob? No, just with a knob. I think that sounds better.
Yeah.
So if you do want to share the show that will be called Manny Plays with the Regals Knob or with a knob, whichever one's best, please share it with your friends. Please do so on Facebook, on Twitter, wherever, whatever you use, email, word of mouth. We really enjoy doing this stuff. And, you know, I think that for the time that we do, for the time that we take to do the show and to write all the stories on the site and everything else that we do, it's very little effort for you to just kind of spread the word about GM Authority and the excellent stuff that we provide. And thank you very much to all of those who have already shared and told all your friends about it. So let's talk about something that's going to be called about, or no, your knob, maybe. Those two should never be used in the same sentence, by the way.
Hey, Alex, my knob, your face.
3 o'clock today? call it a date. So the K Mai Luo. Or is that how you say it?
Have you guys ever watched rugby?
No.
The sure. The New Zealand All Blacks, they do this this dance called the Haka. And it's this war Maori tribe war dance. They do it before every match. And it, like, K Mai Luau sounds like something that they would say. Yeah, because they're yelling in Samoan. And it's actually, like, really.
Huh.
What was that?
I don't know. I'm trying to play the haka dance.
Dopo il promo girato sulla televisione australiana.
New Zealand All Blacks haka dance.
Oh, so. Oh, no. These are the All Blacks. They were all wearing black.
Are they rugby players?
All Blacks versus Australia Haka Rugby. Yeah, that's it. They're, wow, this is quite the dance, dude. What is that? Is that it? All right, enough of that.
Is it hardcore?
That's hardcore, man. They pretend like they're wrestling with someone. Only that they're not. That's pretty intimidating. Wow.
Whatever it is, though, it's playing some major static in my headphones, and it's really annoying.
It should be gone now.
Yeah, it is gone now.
Okay, cool. So what about the K Mai Luo? Luau? How do you say this?
K Mai Luo?
K Mai Luo.
K Mai Luo!
What is this thing? Is this like some kind of a Polynesian flower?
I thought we all agreed that we'd never talk about the Camaro for another month.
Oh yeah, kind of. Well,
yeah, Alex.
It's kind of been a month.
Uh huh.
Kind of.
Well, you know what? They're trying to do here is trying to make it as phonetically correct as possible, because you know Chinese, they don't have the R sound like we do, you know. It's like Red Wings. They can't say red. You know, they say red. So you have to try and, you know, you have to try and get the word Camaro as.
I thought they couldn't say L and everything was replaced with an R.
No, that's the other way around, dude. They can't say R.
Haro?
Can't say R.
Haro?
So send your emails to. Manoli at GMAuthority.com.
And the C, you can't. Their C is like, I guess, a soft C. Like, if you want the K sound, it has to be a K.
Oh, I see. So if you say it all together, like Kimalo, yeah. It yeah. sounds kind of like Camaro.
Well, that's what they're trying to do.
Oh, so, that's pretty cool. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, it's going to be sold in China for 500,000 Chinese yen, or at current conversion rates, $76,000.
Yeah, jeez. And you don't
for
know
the V6
what,
for the V6. Yep.
I think I'm moving to China and getting into the importing business.
Oh yeah, that must be a lucrative place to
import
be.
Import 6 months old Camaros.
Right. Exactly. Well, you can ship yours over there too.
Yeah, there you go. But
probably
and
costs
I don't
16
know.
Grand just to ship the car over.
All right.
Oh no.
It can swim over there. Didn't you know the Camaro has amphibian features?
Yeah.
That's why it's green.
Exactly.
In the picture.
Green water now, monster.
What'll be interesting, I don't know if they're going to actually have the name,
Camaro.
The name badge, gonna say Camilo or whatever, or if it's going to be, you know, in Chinese Mandarin where it's like house under dog sleeping with sheep, you know, one of those signs.
Okay, this time, send your emails to Hilton at gmauthority.com. I mean, we can't be politically correct here for 1 second, can we?
No,
we can't. We're talking about the knob, then we're talking about the, you know, the phonetic pronunciation.
Well, I'm just trying to, you know, my Mandarin isn't that great, and so I was just trying to translate, you know, Mandarin text.
I thought you you majored in Chinese or Mandarin in Yale.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah. So, you know, if you don't use it, you lose it.
There you go.
Just ask Manny about that.
Right. Well, I mean, clearly, I just got done using something.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
But this Auto Shanghai show is, you know, starting to shape up to be, you know, a bit something big.
April 18th, but we can't talk about it.
April 21st.
Oh, 21st. Press it's 18th. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, we can. I'm sure we'll talk about the. That show in our next GM Authority weekly show. But just to say that last week when we talked about, you know, the whole global marketing aspect, I think we're going to start to see a little bit more of that from General Motors.
Yeah, I think
Probably only with Chevy just for starters.
Yeah, I think they have quite a challenge, as we spoke about on the last show, to integrate those Buick, Opel, and Daewoo and Holden brands.
Daewoo's
that's going away.
Ass now.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not just the Opel Buick thing. It's like, what are you gonna do with the Vauxhall and Holden?
Just needs to go. That's very simple. Holden just needs to go. That's very simple. But you can't do it right away. You have to do it like slowly, like Lexus did with Cisco.
Dude, Holden, you got Holden though. Is like,
I know it's got tons of history, and so does Vauxhall.
It's an Australian icon. Yeah.
I know. So is Vauxhall.
Well, that's why people don't want to get rid of it, and I can.
But you can do something like Vauxhall buy Chevy, buy Chevrolet, Holden buy Chevrolet.
No, that doesn't just it doesn't sound.
You can
right.
do it. There's no, transitioning but, tools that they can use.
Yeah, but you know
that's
what?
Like bastardizing. The thing is,
well, they still can. You know, let's say they keep Holden or they keep the Vauxhall name. You know, if you know, let's assume that Holden is going to be Chevrolet. Well, they can still offer the exact same products as Chevrolet. You know, a Camaro is a Camaro, and you know, a Cruze is a Cruze, but it's no longer called a Chevrolet. It's just called a Holden in Australia. It's a Holden Cruze. It's a Holden Camaro. You know, much like the Opel Cruze now and the Chevrolet Cruze. You know, they can still.
You mean the Astra?
Use.
Well, there isn't. What's an that? Opel Cruze.
No, there's a Holden Cruze and a Chevy Cruze.
Oh, Holden Cruze.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you said Opel.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Okay. But, you know, in that way, you know, all we're doing is protect, you know, keeping the brand alive.
Right.
But, you know, it's assimilated into, you know, the entire company.
Lineup.
It's assimilated into Chevrolet. And the product now becomes a Chevrolet product. It's only a matter of the marketing aspect that's
right.
changed.
Right. And I still think they can somehow make that brand transition. And it's not going to be instant. It's going to take long periods of time, but you know, for the greater sake of good, I think they can do it.
I think they're scared of the repercussions of
eliminating
such a thing.
Right, but think about, you know, you have the repercussions on the one hand, on the other hand you have the image that goes along with an import brand from America, you know.
Is that something people want right now though?
I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know.
I couldn't say. As our standing, I mean, it's one thing. Ford is also an import brand from America, but at
right.
the same time, like Ford has strong ties in Europe.
Well, in Europe, whenever you drive an American car, you're considered kind of a class above. But the problem is in Europe right now that I don't think they know where Chevrolet comes from. They think it's French.
No, trust me, they know it's an American brand.
I don't know. I mean, in certain countries, they do, and people who are familiar with it and you know, follow cars, and probably listen to this show, they understand that. But for most, they don't really understand where it comes from. And they Ford.
It's right next to the Budweiser and Apple Pie Factory.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe they have to move factories then. Let's talk about something that's exciting. And that is the Holden Cruise SS that may or may not be in the works. I'm sick of this topic. This is a report. Yeah, we have to cover it because it's, you know, we all know we want it. We want a Cruise Z-Spec SS, a high-performance version of the Cruise, whatever you want to call it. This is according to a report from GoAuto.au, which basically they're saying that they are, or they could see, a high-output version of the domestically made Holden Cruise as soon as next year. And, of course, it will be powered not by, if I can speak today, it won't be powered by the 2-liter Ecotec. It would actually be powered by a 1.6-liter turbocharged Ecotec that we see in the Opel Astra today. And in that configuration, it makes 178 horsepower and 170 pound-feet of torque. And they also say that the SS version may come in both sedan and five-door hatchback flavors. Of course, you know, this is still all a rumor at this point, and it does not make sense for Chevy not to do this. The Cruise is too good of a product to waste on giving it a weak engine like it currently has.
Look at the Ford Focus. Doesn't the Ford Focus titanium punch out around 170 ponies?
The Ford Focus in general, every Ford Focus, the standard engine, which I just drove the Focus this week, the new one, and I drove the Auto and the Stick, and it is leaps. I'm really terrified to say this, but kind of embarrassed as well, but it's leaps and bounds more powerful and more enjoyable to drive in a straight line than the Cruise. In a straight line. Handling wise, I don't know. I still really like the way my Cruise handles. The Focus seemed a little bit softer, but that's a byproduct of it not having those bigger wheels that my Cruise has.
It doesn't have a Watts suspension system, does it?
No, Z-Link? No. I think it's just got a standard IRS everywhere. But you know, I don't know. I think that you know, the Cruise needs to have. It's too good of a car to not have a weak engine like the 1.8 or the 1.4 that's currently in there. So let's hope that this comes true, and you know, but let's hope it materializes. On the other hand, we have a report from Car and Driver, which states that the Chevy Cruise, or even the Holden Cruise, of course, the possibility of it getting an SS badge is going to not materialize, and that basically we're not going to see a more powerful Cruise. So we have conflicting reports from two well-respected publications. I don't know which one to believe. I just hope that common sense prevails within the ranks of General Motors.
No, there's a couple of those Cruise or high output Cruises around. I know, you know, I think we have on the site the black Holden, mm-hmm. and then there's that burnt orange Chevy, right?
Yeah, the Z-Spec. Oh.
And that
I saw that one in person actually.
Oh, well, that car has the upper grill, that grill is what I'd like to see on the Camaro ZL1, mm-hmm. you know, because it's just more aggressive. It would match the lower grill in the Camaro ZL1, and it'd just make the car a little bit more, you know, on its own.
I don't think the ZL1 is mean looking enough. I don't think it's psycho.
Yeah, you guys both had a problem with the ZL1, while I think it's absolutely gorgeous and nothing needs to be changed.
No, I think, yeah, just a little bit in the front. You know, it's just like I said, it's just cosmetics that they need to do on it.
Wait, Hilton, you wanted to give it that Cruise grill?
What's that?
What do you want it to have, the Cruise grill?
Well, you know, if you look at the Cruise grill, Z-Spec, it has that, it's much more tighter lines, but it has those cutouts.
Oh, so it's closer together.
It's closer together, but it just has a nice little design to it that matches the bottom grill on the Cruze.
Okay.
But if you look at the ZL1, the bottom grill on the ZL1 has the exact same pattern, where it's kind of cut in.
Oh, but
in
the top
and
doesn't.
Comes out. Right. The top is
it's like
standard
serrated.
Camaro.
Yeah, I gotcha. It's like an egg crate, and then on the bottom, it's got that really close.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So well,
I was at least hoping for the Camaro to have that the GM accessories one that's on the pace car, the Indy 500 pace car.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that's nice. But you know, if they're going to market the Z spec across the Chevy lineup eventually, then you know, here's a great pattern that all Z spec cars can have. For example, you know, if you got this kind of grill, then that's a Z spec. You know, it's coming.
Right.
You know, and I would certainly want the ZL1 to stand out from any other, you know, Camaro out there. And yeah, it's got those, you know, crazy fog lights at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if you saw that coming down the road, you know, it's something different. But still, I mean, you know, it'd be nice to have its own grill. I mean, if you're going to pay the money that we think you're going to have to pay, then, you know, do a little bit more.
Right. Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, they may make some rolling updates to the ZL1 when it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're really starting to do that a lot with the Cruze. And we'll talk about that on next week's show probably. But the Cruze is going to get a whole slew of changes. Minor changes, but a lot of them for the 2012 model year. And it won't be just, you know, it'll be just be rolling updates.
Well, the one good thing about the Cruze is that, you know, it seems to have wide acceptance in the markets that it's being sold in. It's selling exceptionally well in North America. And that's just the one body style. You can imagine if we get, you know, if
a
we
wagon.
Ever get that the wagon, the hatches, the diesel, the four-cylinder diesel,
right.
You know.
You know that Chevy expects to see at least 50,000 first quarter sales for the Cruze alone.
Uh-huh. Right.
Well, that, yeah. Well, I mean, it's obvious they have a winner here, but, you know, I can see that just being a tip of the iceberg.
Hey,
you know,
Manoli, by the way, that number, in the same amount of time, Toyota expects to see 85,000 sales of the Corolla. Just to
those are 85,000 losers.
You know,
no,
some people,
you know,
just suck, and those are the people who buy the Corolla.
Well, no, but I mean, Corolla has it has a certain amount of goodwill there. I mean,
it's got
the reputation.
Loyal fan base, yeah.
It's got loyal fan base.
Loyally blind.
Well, yeah, maybe so. But I mean, if you look at the Cruze, this is an all-new product. It's a global product, and already it's selling like crazy in North America after only a couple of months.
Right.
That's fantastic numbers.
Well, hey, you make a decent product in a class that you've underserved before, and look what happens. You actually start selling cars. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, who would have known? So closing out the topic of the Cruze, Edmunds somehow kind of accidentally, but not really, we kind of don't know which way he did it, but they kind of jumped the gun just a little bit and released the specifications of the rumored, although still unconfirmed, 2013 Chevy Cruze diesel for the U.S. market. So, of course, we're missing the total fuel economy range as well as the price, but we do have the specs. And the specs, of course, the diesel engine, 2-liter four-cylinder turbo diesel, rated at 147 horsepower, 235 pounds-feet of torque. And that's a little bit lower than what we see in the European and Australian markets for the Cruze.
Mm-hmm.
But this one will have the 6-speed automatic transmission, which is not available in those other markets. So we may see, you know, in the fuel economy number somewhere being in the 40s, low 40s, maybe even high 40s, you know, based on the performance of the Cruze Eco, as well as the Cruze diesel that's sold in the worldwide markets, except for the U.S. and North American markets. So we'll see. I mean, Edmunds.com, you know, we have car.com, cars.com, what is it? What's what are they called? Go.cars.au? Gocars.au?
Yeah, something like
something
that.
Like that. So they're saying the Cruze SS or a high performance version of the Cruze is coming. Then Car and Driver saying it's not. And then we have Edmunds saying that a diesel is coming. So a lot of, you know, development happening around the Cruze, which is really interesting because, you know, obviously, like you said, Hilton, this product is successful, but it's also, you know, it's got some, it's drawn its fair share of critiques, especially from us. You know,
with the Cruze diesel, what are you guys predicting for MPG?
45.
I'm gonna say 50.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, I'm gonna say 50. I wanna see them
on the highway. Maybe.
Yeah, 50 highway. Maybe a combined of 38 or 40.
It is the best. It's got the best fuel mileage of any engine in Australia in a Cruze. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yep.
So it'd be fantastic to see those numbers.
Yeah, well, and you don't really see all the production costs that you would associate with the larger diesel engines that you get in the Silverado.
So I see you did some research there, huh?
Much.
since last week.
You.
Yeah, but not only that, but I mean, the production costs or the R&D costs is split over different markets. So right, I mean this engine, for what it's worth, is already, you know, selling like crazy.
So I wonder if it will be related. This engine, this diesel engine, will be in any way related to the engine in the Colorado, the next gen Colorado.
Well, I mean, why wouldn't it be? I mean, you know, you're not going to build a totally separate block and heads. I mean, the numbers, the performance numbers may be different, and the specs and horsepower and torque will be different. The engine will still have their own ECMs with specific configurations that are specific to how people drive these vehicles or what they use.
Wait, Alex, are you saying that the 2-liter diesel will make its way into the Colorado?
No. The 2.8 in the Colorado and the 2.5 in the Colorado. I'm wondering if it's going to be related to this 2-liter in the Cruze.
Probably not. They're going to be built in different plants. There's going to be.
Well, that's fine. I mean, if they can still build the same car in different plants, and it can still be the same car and same.
Maybe at its bare essence, maybe with, you know, what is it, the what do you start with?
What I'm wondering, the block.
Well,
yeah,
the
but
block.
I'm wondering whether or not, I mean, if you think about that 2-liter diesel that's in the Cruze in Europe right now, that's not GM's engine. Automotore. It's like an Italian engine that they source from an Italian supplier, and that they've used that in the Tosca / Epica, which is their midsize offering over there. And it's not a GM engine. It's a sourced engine. So I'm wondering if this 2-liter diesel that will be available in the U.S. and
will also be sourced from that Italian company,
or if it's going to be a GM built effort. And by the way, you know,
I don't think that they're going to have a new. Think about it though. They're not going to have a new engine ready and waiting for.
Well, maybe they've been working on it. You know, that's what I'm wondering, if it will be either related to it, or if it will be, if they've been working on it. Just
well, then you got to think. You know, we can look at where all the money went for the latest engine research, or not engine, but retooling for engine plants like Tonawanda. They're going to build the next generation small blocks and new Ecotec engines, but they're not going to build a diesel.
They haven't announced it yet because the Cruze hasn't been announced. The Cruze diesel hasn't been announced yet.
Well, no, the Cruze diesel hasn't. No, but
at its core, that Ecotec.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Right. What I'm saying is that, you know, the plant is going to build what it's scheduled to build, and it's scheduled to build the small block and the Ecotec, nothing else.
So
that's what they're tooling it
for. Right. Okay. So why can't the 2-liter turbo not be an Ecotec? Just use, you know, obviously it'll be modified.
A diesel from?
Are you playing with your button again?
I don't understand what you're trying to say. Is that you're gonna make a diesel engine from an Ecotec?
Well, that's what they're branding it as. They're branding the turbo diesel in Europe in the Cruze as an Ecotec right now. And why not brand it as an Ecotec?
Well, I can understand why they would brand it as an Ecotec, because it's just the family name.
Right.
But you honestly, I don't think that there's any similarities between the two engines, between the unleaded and the diesel version.
Well, I think they're very similar.
That's a whole nother.
I think they're very similar. I think at their core, and you know, the block, the I mean, what the only thing that won't be similar is how it treats that fuel and the engine control module.
A diesel configuration is a completely different setup.
I don't think it's as different as you think it is. Nevertheless, what I want to point out is that the TDI, the Jetta TDI, when we were talking about our predictions for the Cruise diesel, the Jetta TDI, which is obviously the stalwart in the segment right now in the compact diesel segment, 30 miles per gallon, the city, 42 miles per gallon, the highway, kind of low. So,
is that what did you just say about the 42 on the highway? Which diesel is that?
That's the VW Jetta TDI.
Oh, yes. That is fairly low for a diesel.
Kind of low, yeah. We got time for one or two more stories. Let's talk really briefly about OnStar MyLink, which will be making its way to a web browser. So we've had OnStar MyLink on our mobile devices, on our iPhones and Androids, and they don't have any other apps, I don't think. No, they don't. And I think... you know, they've kind of gotten some user feedback and realized that not everyone either A, owns a smartphone, or B, wants to use a smartphone to control their OnStar features. So GM or OnStar will be bringing the MyLink features, you know, everything from remote start and horn and lights and door lock and unlock, as well as the vehicle status features like tire pressure, you know, oil status, economy, fuel economy. That's all going to be coming to a web browser now. So you'll be able to go to OnStar.com or, you know, whatever the URL they're going to pick is going to be, and log on or log in and perform all those features from the browser. So this is something that that our sources told us recently. The Chevy Volt actually has had this functionality for the last, ever since it came out. You can go to myvolt.com, I believe it's... or mychevyvolt.com. Let me see. I think it is myvolt.com, and do the same kind of function, perform the same kind of functionality there. So, a much welcome change or addition to the OnStar MyLink family. What do you guys say?
Yes.
Yes. Very exciting. I can see you're very excited. Let's talk about the GMC Terrain Denali. That's going to wrap up our day. And maybe we'll talk about the Chevy Malibu spy shots as well. So, spy shots of this Denali-looking terrain. Good idea, bad idea?
Terrain Denali? I thought it was only a matter of time before we saw one. Yeah. I mean,
I think this truck will look really good in the Denali trim.
I think so, too. I would like to see... You know how the GMC Sierra Denali has the cross beams in chrome?
Yeah.
I think maybe the Terrain Denali, if they could have just the same kind of grill just in chrome, I think that would look cooler than that honeycomb thing.
All right.
Well, yeah.
Well,
I think it'll look good on this vehicle as well, except because the Acadia, I thought that was a huge fail. I mean, I thought the exterior looked terrible.
Well, you know, Helton, have you seen the Acadia Denali in a non-white color?
No.
I've seen it. I saw it in this black. Maybe it was even a dark gray. And that thing looked awesome. Like, you could tell you guys that is not a regular Acadia. Say it again.
I said, was I cutting out or something?
Oh, no. I just spoke over you. As I always do.
I believe I've seen an Acadia Denali in black and red, as well as white.
So yeah, I think the white kind of masks those special, you know, bits that it has. And Hilda, I think what you're talking about is that it doesn't have enough of those chrome bits. It doesn't have enough differentiation from the non-Denali model.
I don't know. I don't like the lower fascia on the.
You just don't like the styling. Period.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I think, you know, and we've gotten some feedback in our comments when we wrote this article about the Terrain Denali, and, you know, pretty much everyone wants to see a different engine in this car, or at least in the Denali trim. So I think the next generation, either the LF3, the twin-turbo LF3 3-liter, or the upcoming next generation 3.6 liter, what is it, the LFX?
I don't know if the LFX will fit in there. I can see the LF3 though, and I also want to see all-wheel drive mandatory.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, those are two features that I think are going to be crucial to making this thing, you know, making or breaking this car.
And you know, the Denali, it's, you know, that level should offer a premium engine. Certainly in the Yukon, you know, it's the only way to get the 6 liter. You know, every other Yukon, it's either a 4.8 or a 5.3. So
is it? You mean the 6.2? It's a 6.2.
Sorry, 6.2. Yeah. So it's, you know, this should be something similar with the Terrain. You want the Denali, you know, you're going to pay a premium for that, but you're going to get this, and it's going to be more than just a bunch of plastic, you know, tacked over on the bottom of it. You're going to get, you know, something that's very different that you can only get, in this product. Right. And it's worth it because this, and this.
Right.
I think they need to make it still at the same time a lot more chic than the Cadillac SRX. Like, you know, the SRX is a little bit more, you know, obviously really kind of stylish and more of an outspoken car.
I want to see maybe
some sleeker interior styling, features. I don't know what they could give this Terrain Denali, you know, to really distinguish it from something maybe full. Maybe some features that you would otherwise see in the Acadia.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, they probably don't want to invest too much into it, you know, because after all, the Denali is a huge profit center for GM, at least in the GMC line.
Well, I mean, if you're just pulling stuff from the parts bin, it's not like you're investing much.
Right. No, exactly. That's why it's a profit center, because most of that stuff is from the parts bin. You know, look at the Acadia. And I hope that's not going to be the case with this Terrain. But we'll see. I guess, as we like to say on the show, only time will tell. So
that's the first time you said it.
On this show, yeah. But we like to say it on previous episodes, as you will know. So let's wrap the show up with some Malibu talk. And there were these, what is it, two sets of spy shots? One from Autoblog and the other one's from, I think, Car and Driver. So this is the 2012, 2013. We're not really sure which one, which year it's actually going to debut and be available on the market.
I'm gonna take the educated guess. I have a hunch.
I know what you're gonna say. You're gonna say 2015, aren't you?
No, I was actually gonna be a smartass and say 2013.
Ah, all right. Well, it probably is going to be a 2013, but we can't talk about that yet. So, and I think we've said too much already. So,
yeah, you've said that one too many times.
What about this? This is like a Camaro looking Malibu.
I'm loving it. I think this, it's really separating itself from those cookie cutter midsize.
Accord.
Yeah, Accord, Camry, Fusion to a degree. What's the another one? The Sonata, I guess.
The Sonata looks like a melted piece of poop. Okay, let's.
Yeah, I mean the car. Yeah, it wears its sheet metal. Like the car looks like it's melting. Like as it's driving, it's melting.
I think that's the actual look there. They call that something pebble. Don't they call that?
Then the Elantra looks like, I don't know, like a crab. Like the exoskeleton of a crab. Like all it's missing is like pincers and legs.
The walking crab. Driving crab.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like the, you know, the Honda Fit looks like a pregnant roller skate. So this thing looks, I agree with you. I'm not really, I mean, I have to give it to Hyundai though. It's they've come out with something that is really bold. And if you don't like, it's either you love it or you hate it. And there's really nowhere in between. And
you gotta love the engineering of the car. But anyway, back to the Malibu. Yeah. Stay on target.
That's what she said.
Look, if this is where GM's design language is going, I'm more than happy with it.
Yeah,
I want to see more of what we're seeing from the spy photos of this Malibu, both inside and out.
Yeah, this thing looks absolutely wonderful.
Nodding to the past while looking at the future. Yep. I think that should be. You know, Chevy's way, you know, because the brand is 100 years old now. Even Cadillac, why like they do some nods to the past with the lights. You know, they kind of make them like fins, like they did in the CTS coupe. You know, they pinch out just a little bit, like the old fins of the 50s.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That on the that rear the third light there, the brake light, and that actually serves as a spoiler. I don't know if you knew that. I think we already talked about that.
Yeah, that's the fun fact.
Yeah, it's cool. So, I mean, this is going to take some Camaro cues, which I love. Camaro speedometer looks like it's just kind of in a square bezel. Camaro tack. I mean, the whole dash looks, I mean, at least the ages look like they're from the Camaro. But not directly from it. They're just, you know, they're made to look like it. The same or similar steering wheel as is on the Cruze right now. And I love it that they taped off the logo on the wheel. It's like as if nobody can figure out that this is a Malibu. We're just going to like tape it off to, you know, you can even see the protrusions of the Chevy bow tie just sitting there.
Yeah, they did that. They did that for the ZL1 when they were testing that.
Well, nobody knows that's a Camaro. Oh my God.
Yeah, they taped over the Camaro badge and the Chevy bow tie at the on the trunk on the deck lid.
Yep.
You know.
Very creative. Well, I guess they're trying to I don't think they're even I think they're attracting more attention that way than they would have otherwise.
Yeah. But, you know, this car, it's I think it's going to be a huge win all over it. And it's replacing a very successful car that they're selling now. It's still selling very well.
With like, and there's a lot of incentives on the hood. I got to add that.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, they're – I don't know. That's another – show we can talk about the whole, you know, where did all these incentives all of a sudden come from at General Motors. But regardless, it's a very successful product that they have now. And anytime you replace a successful product, you know, it's scary stuff. So you want to make sure that you got it right. And, you know, from what we see, it's very exciting.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'd be interesting to see if, you know, they possibly come out with a coupe based off of this car.
They need to. They need to have all that stuff from for at least the compact and the midsize. It needs to happen. You know, there are rumors now of a Sonata coupe, a Kia Optima coupe. Obviously,
I think they should go for the convertible.
Well, I'm sure that the coupe will have a. If they make a coupe, it's going to be much easier to make a convertible than. Just a convertible by itself.
You know, because it certainly, you know, this version has the styling that would fit a coupe. I mean, the last two, you know, in the current version, the version before that, can you imagine that? It would look hilarious.
Yeah, I don't think the platform even supported that because the current version has been on the Epsilon 1. Well, it's kind of like an Epsilon 1.5, I guess. But I don't think they ever imagined to make anything less than four doors in that car. So we'll see. But, you know.
Only time
only,
will tell.
Oh, exactly. Only time will tell.
Mm-hmm. Stole your line. Ha.
You. I'm going to trade you. I'm gonna charge you trademark infringement for that.
Is that right?
Yeah. So did we miss anything else? Is there anything else you guys want to say before we tune out?
Yeah, I do. There's absolutely no commonality between the GM's 2-liter diesel and GM's 2-liter unleaded engine. That's stupid.
You know, wait until next week, and then you're going to do some more research.
I did about 15 minutes of research.
And then you're going to say, oh, these engines are the same, like you did today with the urea injectors and a diesel.
Oh, please take an engineering class or something, please.
Like you did?
Yes, like I did.
Yeah, I got to do that.
I have one question.
Manoli has the answer because he's holding on to his knob.
Okay, here's
the
question. Now, most of us know, especially a lot of our listeners who are regular tweeters, who are on Facebook, who...
Dropping Twitter bombs. Check out
the news. Yeah. By the way, he got a new job, didn't you hear?
Yeah.
Somebody hired.
He did.
Anyways... Most people have heard about Chris Barger leaving General Motors. And my question to you guys is, what's the chances that Chris is going to end up working with Chris Preuss?
Ooh. That's a very, very
we should ask him.
Interesting question. We should not only should we ask him, but we should ask him and write about it. But we should ask him first.
I just think that partnership would be a formidable consulting company in with respect to communications.
Right. Yeah, because Bruce went off
it's
to start
a,
his
a
own
real
communications
shame that
firm.
Those guys left.
Yeah.
It's a real shame.
But Bruce went off to start his own communications firm, as far as we know, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, he's a consultant.
Well,
he?
No, he's going to have a whole firm, you know, centered around that. So it's not just him. It's going to be multiple people. So why don't you go take a communications class or something like that? I just had to.
Do we know?
Just had to get you
do
back.
Do we know? Has anybody taken? Have they announced anybody's replacing or Chris's replacement?
Nothing
Chris
yet.
Chris Barger's replacement. Nothing
yet. Nothing
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, it's been nothing.
Maybe
yet.
Maybe they'll find they'll hire that guy with Chrysler with the F bombs.
Somebody already scooped him up.
Yeah, they'll give him a better offer. I'm sure. We'll see. I mean, he's like a kind of a celebrity right now, you know. So
yeah, he had his 5, 10, 15 minutes of fame.
I'd say it was days.
Yeah, 15 days of fame at least.
Yeah.
The F-bomb man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, guys, thanks so much for being here. And thank you to all of our listeners for listening and putting up with us. We have a much shorter show today, which as far as everyone has been writing in to say, you like that, you want that. So let us know how we did. Hopefully we did better with the show length this time around. And of course, as we do at the end of every show, let's welcome Bob Lutz to join us here next time on the GM Authority Weekly Podcast. But until he decides to return our invitations, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/GM Authority. And you can also follow us on Twitter at GM Authority. That's all one word, GM Authority. And you can also, of course, as we asked at the beginning of the show, just let all of your GM loving car nut friends, car enthusiasts, know about GM Authority and what we do here, and we'd really, really, really appreciate that. And last but not least, you can also find the show notes for this show and every weekly show that we've ever done at weekly.gmauthority.com, and you can also write into podcast@gmauthority.com with any questions, and you can also call in to 313-355-3GMA. And that's all she wrote, because the general has been served. Please rate the show in the iTunes store, head on over to iTunes, and search for GM Authority Weekly.